This is David Duke. Who is the man in the orange prison suit? He's been held in solitary confinement for 2 years, locked in a tiny room without so much as a chair. He's been placed in the cells of prisons used to discipline violent or disobedient prisoners, yet he's never been violent or disobedient. In prison parlance, it's commonly called the hole. Through the pressure of the Canadian Jewish Congress, he was tried in secret court in Canada by a judge, and not even his attorney was allowed to see all the evidence against him. The very judge in the case is a man who sought to prosecute him years ago for his opinions. In fact, as amazing as it may sound, the very judge of the current case was in years past the same agent of the Crown who testimony has shown purposefully permitted a terrorist bomb against him to be delivered through the Canadian mails to his home. It appears that anything is permissible when one dares to challenge Jewish sensibilities. Now this elderly gentleman faces deportation to Germany, where he likely faces a long prison sentence, for which a man of his age could well be a life sentence. What was the offense of this man, you might ask? Was he a drug dealer, war criminal, a murderer, gangster, rapist, or terrorist? No. By all accounts, he was none of those. It is admitted by the press, which always opposed him in Canada, that he was never violent, never criminal. He was never in his entire life convicted of the slightest crime. He is, in fact, a kind-hearted pacifist who has repeatedly opposed all war and all violence. He's an artist who made his living for decades by his beautiful paintings and illustrations. Far from being violent or dangerous, it was he who often was the victim of violence. He's been attacked by howling mobs. His home has been firebombed, and the Canadian government tried to put him into prison. What was his crime, you ask? Why would he be attacked, his home firebombed? Why did the government of Canada try to imprison him? All of this was simply due to the fact that he wrote and published politically incorrect views of the Holocaust. Did he praise the Holocaust, you might ask? No. Did he advocate it? No. Did he deny that any atrocities were committed against Jews? Again, no. He simply dared to challenge in a considered and reasonable way some of the underlying assumptions of what Dr. Norman Finkelstein calls the Holocaust industry. He was tried with the Orwellian crime of falsifying history. Unquote. He simply dared to publish articles and books that differed from the accepted view of the Holocaust. He argued using extensive evidence, documents, and reason that some of the assumptions about the Holocaust were incorrect. He often showed the inconsistencies and hypocrisies of different books that promoted the Holocaust. He argued, for instance, that although many Jews died from the effects of their incarceration and mistreatment, that there wasn't actually a German master plan or policy to kill all the Jews of Europe. He honestly believed that the so-called Holocaust as presented was an extension of war propaganda. War propaganda that had the intention of helping to secure support for the establishment of the Zionist state. He believed that the repeated telling of the story of great crimes against Jews in the Second World War was the buffer which allowed the subsequent crimes of ethnic cleansing against the Palestinian inhabitants of what is now Israel. If you read his material, it is rational, thoughtful, and not the least bit hateful. And he has suffered tremendously for simply voicing his opinions. He exercised something that Bush and Blair and all people like to call free speech, freedom of thought, freedom of conscience, and freedom of expression. Eventually, he was vindicated by the High Court of Canada, which ruled that the law by which they prosecuted him violated freedom of speech and expression. But the authorities, driven by the hatred of the Canadian Jewish Congress, were not finished with this persecution. By hook or crook, they were determined to silence him and put this man into prison. Who is the man who has endured this unrelenting prosecution for his free speech? His name is Ernst Zundel. In the twilight years of his life, he settled down to a married life in the United States with the eloquent American writer and playwright Ingrid Rimland. They lived on a small farm in the Tennessee Appalachians. Then, 2 years ago, all hell broke loose. Married to and living with an American citizen, he had every right to live in the United States, as millions of other spouses do. But there was a scheduling error by the government, and the authorities claim Ernst and Ingrid missed a routine appointment with the INS. On that flimsy argument, in a matter of days, with no appeal, an armored SWAT team descended on their quiet farm and whisked this lone man, Ingrid Rimland's husband, into solitary confinement. He was locked in conditions reserved for the worst of criminals. With hardly any options for appeal, he was finally separated from his American wife and deported back to Canada, where he had previously lived and worked for 3 decades. There he was also placed in solitary confinement and charged with, quote, being a danger to the security of Canada. Was there any evidence presented to the Canadian court of this charge? Under Canadian law, you can be deemed guilty of being a danger to Canadian security even without seeing the evidence against you. He has been in terrible conditions of confinement for over 2 years now. Of course, the fact of not being allowed to even see the evidence against you in a criminal case is against every precept of law in every civilized nation of the world. But all that made no matter. This thought criminal had to be punished. He couldn't be shown to have broken any Canadian law, so it was decided that he would be deported to Germany, where under the draconian laws there, he could be jailed for years for simply challenging any of the often changing historical versions about the Holocaust. German courts have already ruled that in regard to the Holocaust, the truth is no defense. Now that's an exact quote from some of those cases. And that's true even if you show that what you said to be absolutely true. If it challenges the official Jewish version, you have committed a serious crime. You have, quote, defamed the Jewish people. And even if you can prove what you say is accurate, you are guilty of reviling the Jewish people and therefore face imprisonment. I realize that probably many of you reading this cannot believe that this is the state of affairs in some European countries and that America cooperated with the violation of this man's civil rights. After all, this gross violation of the most fundamental principles of freedom of thought, speech, and press has never been discussed on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, or the Fox News Network. There is no protest of this gross injustice. No civil libertarians make an issue out of it. Most Europeans and Americans don't have the slightest knowledge of the horrible injustice that has occurred on American soil and subsequently in Canada. It makes no difference, makes no matter, that books such as Goldhagen's Hitler's willing executioners, argues that Germans are inherently purveyors of murder and evil, that there's something of a murder gene in Germans. That won't land you in jail in Germany. It will land you on the bestseller list and rave reviews from the philo-Semitic press, both in Germany, England, France, and America. And like Goldhagen, poor Ernst never said that Jews were inherently evil. He simply dared to question the orthodoxy of the Holocaust story, a story that is not allowed in any part to be examined, questioned, debated, or critically thought about, even now, 60 years after the event. Even though there are many common assumptions about the Holocaust that are now refuted by Jewish Holocaust historians themselves. For instance, there are still thousands of references every year in articles all over the world about the Holocaust that refer to the Nazis as having diabolically made soap from their Jewish victims. It goes on every day. In fact, it just occurred a couple weeks ago. Yet even the head of the Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum and Center admits that such never happened. The following is a recent quotation from the Haaretz newspaper in Israel from February 11, 2005, very recent. It was accompanied by a picture, which I show on this website, with the following caption: "The tombstone in Hod HaSharon, bearing an inscription, Soap of Holy People near Kadir." Unquote. But all of this is an elaborate hoax, a hoax that has been going on unbroken for the last 60 years. The name of the article is Yad Vashem, Nazi Soap Stories Invention, by Amram Barakat, February 11, 2005. I quote, "A box of soap, which according to the Romanian Jewish community was made from the bodies of Jews killed in the Holocaust, was found yesterday in a funeral home in Magdiel, part of Hod HaSharon in central Israel," Army Radio reported. The box was buried under the tombstone that read, quote, "Soap of Holy People," unquote. Sources at Yad Vashem expressed disappointment at the radio report, calling the story a, quote, "pure invention that was given stage by the media," unquote. A Yad Vashem spokeswoman said there's no proof the Nazis made soap from human bodies during the Holocaust. We can just go on and on. The sources said similar claims have been made in the past regarding soap made from Jewish bodies, including soap found last year in an Ahara cemetery. In that case, the soap was determined not to have been made from human remains. In 1990, samples from the several soaps claimed to have been made from Jews were sent for DNA testing at Tel Aviv University. Likewise, those tests determined the soaps did not contain human fats. Interesting, isn't it? I guess next we'll be charging DNA with hate crimes. Now, the soap story, which millions have heard and believed, but about which almost no one knows to be completely untrue, a tiny percentage know that today, is indicative of the many myths surrounding the Holocaust. Zundel for years challenged the Jewish soap story, and it has been only in latter years that have Jewish scholars admitted that the whole story is a fabrication. It is a lie. Zundel says the soap story is a clear example of many other untruths about the Holocaust, but only the approved version of the Holocaust is legal. Any historical opinion that counters it is a prison offense. Jewish scholar Norman Finkelstein, whose own parents suffered in Nazi concentration camps, says that it's only his Jewishness that has prevented his own prosecution for challenging the huge amount of fraud in connection with what he calls the, quote, Holocaust industry, unquote. One Jewish writer put it this way. He said there's no business like Shoah business. Norman Finkelstein has written a book under the same title, The Holocaust Industry, and I recommend it for all readers of DavidDuke.com. that's also covered in my book, Jewish Supremacism, and I hope that you'll find a very interesting treatment of the Holocaust controversy. My book doesn't claim there was no Holocaust or no attacks against Jews, but it does show you the evidence, which may offer some really serious questions about the validity of this historical event. Zundel's crime is simply that he dared to print articles quoting well-regarded historians, scientists, and writers that raise serious questions about aspects of the official story. And for this, he's been locked up. Locked up like a criminal. Really an animal. For 2 years. And now he faces years more imprisonment. Does that sound like freedom to you? When someone simply cannot offer a differing opinion about a long-concluded historical event, when that's the case, there's no freedom of speech. If this is the reality of the day, then there really is no freedom of speech, thought, conscience, and press. If such is true, then the freedom we were told that we have, that freedom we are told about, is nothing more than a monstrous lie. Ironically, even the knowledge that freedom of speech no longer exists in many parts of the Western world, even that knowledge is forbidden. At least in the darkest days of the Inquisition or of Soviet Russia, everyone knew there was no freedom of speech. And because of that, they knew to question everything. But today, most of the people labor under the illusion that freedom of speech exists in all Western nations. As Zundel sits in solitary confinement in his forlorn tiny cell, how many Americans or Britons or Germans even know or realize that a man has faced imprisonment for 2 years under these intolerable conditions and faces years more prison for simply exercising the most fundamental right of a supposedly free society? The fact that Ernst Zundel has not backed down, recanted, or caved in the face of such horrendous treatment is a testament to the fact that whether you agree with him or not, Ernst Zundel is a man who should be lauded for his intellectual and physical courage. The fact that instead of being praised for his courage, that he's now imprisoned at this moment, is testimony to the truth and the power of his assertions. For if Zundel is so easily proven wrong, why the need to stifle and punish him? What kind of truth needs to use prison and human compulsion to protect it? What kind of truth cannot afford inspection or criticism? To me, that sounds much more like the tactics of the bearers of the lie rather than the truth. It seems to me that those who would be so cruel to this one lone older man are not the bearers of human justice and dignity. It sounds to me like they are those who lie and cannot afford their lies to be challenged by facts, arguments, and debate. I beseech those of you hearing this broadcast today to join with me. Let us stand by this man of honor, Ernst Zundel, for his quest for freedom is our quest. His imprisonment is actually our own freedom in shackles. It is not just Ernst Zundel who sits in that tiny cell of desolation. It is all of us who love life and freedom. It is the spirit of our people that suffocates on this altar of Jewish supremacism. Ernst, we respect you. We admire you. We love you. Even from your small cell, you are a light to all Europeans and all other freedom-loving people in the world.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.